Tina Kilaitiana is kindly with us. She's just back from South Africa, and we're re-evaluating the effort here. Look, it's tough competition, improving quality of games in international netball. Of course, we love Nolene, don't we? Dame Nolene Todua. But this year, it just wasn't to be. So not quite the result we were after, Tina, but it is wonderful to have a chance to have a cordial with you, because we were still proud of the effort by our netballers in South Africa. Hoki mai, Tina, it's good to have you in the program again. Kia ora tawatu.
More than a Dale. The result we didn't want to have, but that's life. As I said, I was sending texts to messages to Knowles and to her team every night. So, yeah, unfortunately, that was it wasn't the result she was looking for either, nor the girls. But you know, I think when we lost Grace, I think that in itself was a big hurdle for them to overcome, because as you know, Gracie Wicker was a standout for us, and she had the height advantage over all the girls. And as you noticed in the games that against all the other teams, there that was an advantage they had over us. So but you know, that was my eighth world champs. I've lost, been at six of them and lost six. So I think after six, you realize it becomes a little bit more accepting. But I believe, and this is what I think, it was a good for netball, for the world, for global netball, to see England and Jamaica beating number one and two. I think that says it all. But again, I think those countries will be wondering, because this was always going to happen, Dale. We have those people from those different countries coming down to play in our competition and play in Australia's competition. So as one would expect, they will become better and better. If I recall, 50% of the England team play in the Australian League. So it's no surprise, to be honest, that they've improved out of sight. And I think globally it's good for the game.
Tēnā koe. We want more of our wahine Māori to see it as a pathway through, and semi-professionalism is perhaps what might be needed here. But we know it's always a bit of a battle financially, and we're up against organisations or countries that have better financial structures behind them. The International Netball Fed seemingly has limited financial structure, and it relies heavily on government and sponsor support. I see the president of World Netball, Dame Liz Nicol, said the sport's rich in people resource and poor in financial resource. You've worked in areas like Te Matatini to get sponsorship and funding. Is Netball New Zealand in a similar position, do you think, Tina?
Well, if you look at it like from this perspective, Dale, if you have a look at those other codes, rugby, soccer, cricket, the dominant thing that we have seemed to overlook sometimes is our men's sports. That doesn't change globally. Their men's sports and their resourcing, and they've been like that forever, for Maidanoa, across the world. See, netball is a global sport for women. And every country you know, and you know this, every country that you go into, where do women sit? Apart in the Scandinavian countries, but seriously, our women's sport across the world is still ranked, comes second behind men's sport, and nothing, it hasn't changed. So, in my opinion, this is my own personal opinion, I think with rugby, soccer and cricket opening their arms up to women, that was a gap that they wanted to, they could populate and bring in that other part to add an economic value to their sport. But see, we don't, and we've never ever stopped men from playing our sport. It's just been a given that they would come and join us. And yes, so we are underfunded. Years ago, England and Australia looked to us because we became the first semi-professional sport for women. But when you're getting basically the resources aren't on the same par. And if I give you this example, so from when New Zealand Rugby and brought in the women, now that's fantastic, I've got nothing against that, but they gave $21 million to leverage the women's board. That's our whole budget, Dale. That's what we're competing against. And no, we do not have enough resources. And I hope that somebody or a government would look at us. And Liz was right, Dame Liz was right, because we're all reliant on government funding. England have to place in the top three to continue with their funds that they get from their government. I think it's just, from a woman's perspective, I think it's not, the equity isn't there.
Tēnā koe, I went and watched my moko play last Thursday at the courts out there in Pāmua. One of the coldest courts I've ever been to be honest. It's on a wind tunnel, I think, but it was neat. It was chock-a-block. There were heaps of kids playing, not just kōtero also, I might add, Tina. But you realise it's so much part of the fabric of New Zealand sport, the fabric of it. And we have been so proud of performances in the past. You mentioned that we are helping other nations to develop, and while that's neat, it also we seemingly are paying the price too, because our dominance now is under question. And of course, she can't walk on water, Nolene, although we have high expectations of her. It was a bit of a reality check and a perfect storm, really. So all the help that we and Australia have given to the development worldwide is coming back to bite us on the bum, it would seem, but in a good way, because it's great to see Jamaica there. I was really pleased, too, that South Africa and Uganda, quality of international netball certainly on the rise. You can't doubt that, can we?
No, absolutely. And I think, given the resources, so don't forget that while South Africa is suffering with under-resourcing, Uganda is really under the pump, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So just imagine when they have their resources. Just imagine if Malawi of funding, we will have the sport at the level that we'd like it to be globally, but it is about resourcing. It is about resourcing worldwide, not just within New Zealand. And the other thing I think we also have to remember is that a lot of our coaches end up going overseas and adding value to the coaching of the players that of netball players and teams across the world. Yvette was there, as we know. She was coaching Fiji. And there were other girls that were taking a back seat with some of those teams. So we're still helping them, not only by our competition, but in that coaching role. But I think that's more about their own personal development and getting international exposure.
I wonder whether, because Māori have played a significant role in changing politics in the African continent. And when I looked at that Ugandan team, they seem to have so much promise, they're very agile and athletic, tall, skillful. And I just wonder whether, while we're talking about tautoko to developing nations, whether, for instance, Māori netball might be able to coordinate something and assist our Ugandan players instead of them having to always look at their government for support. Do you see a time when there could be sort of some inter-indigenous tautoko provided so that we can see even more improvement from these developing netball nations?
To be honest, Dale, we've had that conversation. We were very fortunate to have Parakuihi with Minister in the government. I took the opportunity to socialise some of the aspirations that people had asked me to talk about, and one of those was actually Indigenous playing Indigenous competition. And, whilst we don't know what the outcome of the elections will be, but that having that opportunity to put that on the table, basically through from my role as the president of Netball New Zealand, Netball Māori Netball will pick up that tono, and so that's what we're hoping. I think, anyway, that's what we need to consider, because what's the gap on the international stage? I think Indigenous sport is the gap, and if we want to plug it, then we should be trying to plug it from New Zealand's point of view, because as you know, and we all know, Māori lead the world in that Indigenous space. So why can't we take that space in sport? But and I've already spoken to a couple of people who asked me to socialise that with her, and they're involved in the high performance arm for Māori. And I said, I can do this, but you guys have to lead it. You have to bring it up and bring it together. But I believe that's a gap in the sporting calendar for the world. And it'd be great, to be honest, Sal, if Māori picked up that Indigenous arm and starting run and became the initiators of that kaupapa.
Welcome home, Tina. Thanks for sharing some kōrero. Nolene's still secure for some time going forward despite her results, or is her tenure under review as a result of what might be seen as a disappointing showing in South Africa?
Well, this is, again, I can't call on Netball New Zealand's view on it, but from my point of view, it's like anything. The review will happen irrespective of whether it's a good result or bad result, and all codes, and you know that, Dale. But in Noel's case, don't forget Noel put up a flag that she wasn't going to continue. She'd considered it, she'll consider it, but she'd actually put a stake in the ground, said, I'll consider it. So I'm hoping, this is me, Tina, hoping that she continues, because one glitch and surely New Zealanders are bigger, or we're bigger and bolder enough to say, yep, we've been, it's failed this time, but just give her the opportunity to bring it up. Because they are, let's be honest, who's going to take over? You listeners out there, who will take over from Dame Knowles?
Tina Kuleitiana.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Technically, I thought you might take over the reins there, Fire, but
No. You've got to play in your lane. You don't want to be deviated, and that's Noel's lane, and she's fabulous, and the girls will tell you that too.
Yeah, we think she is too, and we think you are as well. Thank you, Tina. Thanks so much for sharing some cordial about it.
Kia ora, Dale.
Tēnā koe, Tina. Me koe hoki. Te whai, kia ora, Tina. Thanks so much.